NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde sind, wie gesagt, Rob und Fred von der Band The Slow Show aus Manchester. Und sie kommen beide gleich zu Wort, aber erstmal Musik von dem neuen zweiten Album Dream Darling. It's The Slow Show mit der ersten Single, Ordinary Lives. Ordinary Lives von The Slow Show von ihrem neuen Album Dream Darling, die erste Single-Auskopplung von dem Album. Bei mir im Studio sind, wie gesagt, Rob und Fred von der Band. How are you doing?
Oh, hi.
Very well, thank you.
Glad you could make it.
Yeah, pleased to
good
be
to
here.
See you. Yeah, and you're quite regulars in Hamburg now, because we've only just seen you at the Reeperbahn Festival, so you couldn't wait to come back.
That's it, yeah. I think it's, we know the good bars by now.
Right. Ja, die kommen immer wieder gerne hierher, weil sie die Bars so gut kennen. Und sie haben ihre Lieblingsbars inzwischen und sie kennen sich in Hamburg ziemlich gut aus, weil sie so oft hier gespielt haben. And you seem to have made a lot of progress, really, by the standards of a young band. It's only the second album, and we're already talking about sold-out gigs, quite large clubs in Germany. I mean, obviously, that's very promising and very reassuring. I mean, has that taken you by surprise, or do you just feel, well, of course, this is what we deserve because we're so good? You know, I mean, do you think in those kind of terms?
We're always surprised and humbled whenever we play somewhere and it's sold out and there's so many people that are so seemingly interested in our music and moved by it. I think you can't fail to be surprised and grateful. You know, we're really grateful when there's so many people coming to our shows. Having said that, we've spent a lot of time in Germany and Europe, mainland Europe, you know, and we've seen the places go from 50 to 100 and then 200, and the steps have always been quite progressive, so in that respect it feels like it's been quite a natural, organic growth. It hasn't gone from zero to sold out shows, so
right. It doesn't seem like an overnight success too.
No, it hasn't. Okay. Been, you know, so right. I think for us it's felt like a nice progression.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a natural growth.
Yeah, it was so important.
Yeah, you know. I think if it would have been gone from 50 to 600 overnight, we may have felt a little different. And but it's so natural because it's a gradual thing. And last week we played through even more. There was like a couple of thousand venue, and people asked me, "Are you like, is this very different? Do you feel really nervous about it?" And I guess you do a bit, but it's you sort of get used to get to that point. If that was my first gig ever, I'm not sure if I would have gone on stage. And, you know, it's a gradual thing.
So you don't feel intimidated by your own success.
I guess not.
I think okay. we needed that as a band. Looking back, I think we're very grateful that sort of the progress being step by step. You know, I think we as a band we've done everything reasonably slowly, and we've I think we needed that to find our feet. We spent a long time sort of, you know, becoming comfortable, and as a singer in particular, I feel like that sort of apprenticeship, so to speak, was absolutely vitally important, you know. And so when we go on stage today, I think that sort of time that we've put in was very important, you know, it was useful.
Ja, Sie sagen, dass Sie immer sehr froh und dankbar sind, wenn Sie ein großes Publikum erreichen können, wenn ein Konzert ausverkauft ist, wie zum Beispiel das Konzert im Knust heute Abend. Und Sie sind schon sehr froh und dankbar und meinte, Rob, dass es ihm auch so demütig stimmt eigentlich, wenn er darüber nachdenkt, also wie glücklich er sich schätzen kann. Andererseits ist es schon so ein allmählicher Prozess gewesen. Es ist nicht ein Übernacht-Erfolg gewesen. Es hat schon ein bisschen gedauert, also bis sie es geschafft haben. Es ist zwar nur das zweite Album, sie sind aber schon seit einigen Jahren dabei. Und sie denken, dass es eigentlich eine ganz natürliche Entwicklung gewesen ist. Also mal waren es nur 50 Leute im Zuschauerraum und dann 100 und dann 200 und jetzt wird es heute Abend 500 bis 600 sein. Und das ist deshalb nicht wirklich überraschend gewesen. Es ist einfach eigentlich nur eine vielversprechende, ja, so Entwicklung, wie es sich gehört. Und Fred meinte auch, dass sie vor kurzem vor 2000 gespielt haben. Und er fühlte sich erstmal ein bisschen verunsichert. Und wenn das erste Konzert seines Lebens gewesen wäre, dann hätte es wahrscheinlich gar nicht geschafft, überhaupt auf die Bühne zu gehen. Aber sie haben natürlich schon ein bisschen Erfahrung gehabt und haben sich jetzt dran gewöhnt und fühlen sich schon etwas selbstsicherer. Und Rob meinte auch, dass als Sänger auch, es ist jetzt diese Vergangenheit der Band ist eine Art Ausbildung gewesen. Er meinte, dass sie wirklich die Zeit gebraucht hat, also bis die Band sich etabliert hat und bis es ein bisschen aufgebaut wurde, um überhaupt selber souveräner zu werden. And of course, the voice, you mentioned your voice yourself. I mean, it's an obvious focal point to whatever you do. And I always think it's important that the arrangements never seem to get too cluttered, that your voice gets obscured in any way. Do you feel a sense of pressure in that respect? Because you've always got to be up to scratch vocally, because it's so important to the sound. It's kind of stamped all over what you do, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think we discussed this yesterday, and I think we, as a band, we've always felt like the voice is just one part of what we do, and for us as a band, it's no more important than any of the other instruments. But of course, naturally, people tend to listen to the singer and maybe put a bit more emphasis on that. So, yeah, for a long time, I felt a lot of pressure doing that. It was something new, and I'd never sang in a band before. This was the first band I'd ever sang in, and I didn't really realise I could sing, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to either. But me and Fred started writing some songs, and I recorded the guide tracks, the demos, and we were always planning to get someone else, a proper singer, someone who had sang before. But it became very apparent quite quickly that it was hard to explain to somebody else how to sing the songs and what they were about. And I realised that I thought it was reasonably important that I sang them, because I understood them and I could sing them in an appropriate way. And it didn't have to be traditionally perfect. It didn't have to be the traditional voice that's with a great range and all the tricks. It just needed to tell the story appropriately. So there was a sense of pressure, but I think as far as singing as a mechanism, it's fine, because I have an area where I'm comfortable and a range, and for this band, that's okay.
Okay. Ja, er fühlt sich schon unter Druck gesetzt, was den Gesang betrifft, weil seine Stimme so ein Mittelpunkt ist. So sind die Songs arrangiert, dass seine Stimme im Vordergrund ist. Und hat es auch bestätigt, dass die Band ist zwar der Meinung, dass der Gesang nur ein Bestandteil ist des Ganzen, dass alle Parts eigentlich gleich wichtig sind, aber es ist auch klar, dass seine Stimme auffällt und die Leute konzentrieren sich drauf, und hat sich dementsprechend unter Druck gesetzt gefühlt, aber hat sich einfach daran gewöhnt. Erstmal wollte er nicht mal ein Sänger werden. Als sie angefangen haben, Songs zu schreiben, die beiden, also Rob und Fred, dann haben sie die Songs zusammen komponiert, und eigentlich waren sie auf der Suche nach einem Sänger, der die Songs wirklich gut interpretieren könnte. Dann haben sie festgestellt, es könnte sehr schwierig sein, weil dieser fremde Sänger würde wahrscheinlich nicht so richtig viel mit den Songs anfangen können. Und Rob hat die Texte geschrieben, und er ist derjenige wirklich, der dahinter steckt, und hatte sich dann damit beschäftigt, und er hatte noch nie vorher in einer Band gesungen. Und er weiß, dass er ein bisschen eingeschränkt ist, so was seine Bandbreite betrifft. Er hat keine große Variationsbreite, aber inzwischen stört es ihn nicht mehr. Er fühlt sich wohl, wie er ist. Er hat eine bestimmte so Bandbreite, die er abdecken kann, die passt zu dieser Band. Und damit kann er gut leben. Right, so, is there an example on the new album of maybe the vocals? We talk about the vocals. Were you particularly happy about your vocal performance? Is there a song which stands out? You thought, well, maybe you felt a little bit unsure about how it was going to turn out, and it turned out to be... to actually surpass your own expectations, or are you equally happy with all the tracks in that respect?
I think with this record, I'd found my feet more vocally. I was more comfortable with the first one. I think with Whitewater, probably me and Fred can hear each song is different vocally, because it was recorded over a long period of time, and I was still really trying to understand where I was comfortable and where my strengths were vocally. So this record, I think, is more consistent. I think it's probably the word. I think I'm happy with where I'm at with this record. And
we had to work less on your vocals this time, because you, every time you came in to do your vocals on the second album, you really knew what we were going to do with them in terms of effect, where they were meant to be in the song, how loud compared to the instruments.
So you didn't have to correct him all the time?
No.
Not so much.
It made my job very easy. And also not many takes, because I think you really got to know your own singing style and vocals.
Yeah, I think it was the same with this whole record, to be honest, with the instruments, with the production, with Fred. I think we just realised what we found we were good at and where our strengths lied, and I think the whole process was much easier. I think we're just more comfortable in our skin now than we were before.
Okay. Ja, er sagt, Rob, dass er das Gefühl hat, dass seine Gesangsleistung insgesamt auf dem neuen Album viel besser ist als auf dem Debütalbum. Das liegt auch daran, dass natürlich, dass er mehr Erfahrung inzwischen hat, aber es liegt auch daran, dass bei dem ersten Album sind die Songs über einen sehr langen Zeitraum entstanden und deshalb gab es also große Pausen so zwischen den verschiedenen Aufnahmen und deshalb keine richtige Beständigkeit da und ziemlich viel so Höhen und Tiefen, so was die Leistung betrifft. Und er sagt, in diesem Fall war es einfach beständiger. Er fühlte sich einfach wohler und Fred musste ihn auch weniger korrigieren im Studio, weil er hat nicht so viele Takes gebraucht, um das überhaupt hinzubekommen. Und das gilt für das ganze Album, dass sie das Gefühl haben, dass sie einen großen Sprung nach vorne gemacht haben. So, is a particular track you'd like to hear now to prove the point or just don't want me to choose? I'll go for Strangers Now Otherwise, but it's up to you.
We'd love that one.
Yeah, we'd love that. I'd love that one as well. Yeah. Okay, we'll do that one.
Okay.
And yet, Strangers Now, das Eröffnungsstück von dem neuen Album Dream Darling from the Slow Show. So das war Strangers Now from the Slow Show von ihrem neuen zweiten Album Dream Darling. Bei mir im Studio sind Rob und Fred von der Band. Obviously, I've known quite a few bands from Manchester and I've met quite a few bands from Manchester over the years. And you must belong to a category of bands from Manchester who sound less typically kind of cliched Mancunian than a lot of bands do. I mean, maybe going back 20 years ago, Elbow springs to mind, maybe. They kind of, that was something out of nothing.
Yeah.
There was no band at the time from that area who sounded like that.
Yeah.
And they're, moving on 16 years later, I would say the Slow Show, the same applies to you, that there's nobody really around, as far as I know, in the area who sound anything like you at all. So you're certainly not jumping on a bandwagon, are you?
I don't think so. I don't think we've been influenced by any other Manchester bands that we've used to listen to in our teens, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think Manchester's a funny city. I mean, we're really proud to be from there. We love it there. Musically, I don't think we're influenced by the city's heritage, musical heritage at all, but we're very proud of it, and we love listening to it.
It's perhaps to do with where we came from too.
Yeah, and I think
well, because you're from Belgium.
I'm from Belgium. Yeah. James is more from the Leeds area.
Yeah.
But you didn't grow up in Manchester.
No.
But we all moved to Manchester quite early on in our lives, so it's a big part of our lives, and we really love it there. It is home.
So, right, okay.
But maybe that has something to do with it too. So we didn't hear that music when we were like in our teens.
So you didn't feel forced to like it all then?
No.
Which maybe you wouldn't if you'd grown up.
So we didn't have a dad who was sort of forcing us to listen to all that stuff or was talking about it all the time. Or
I don't think we had the right clothes either to fit into that scene.
Ich sagte schon, habe ich schon mal in einer Sendung gesagt, dass es eigentlich kaum eine Band aus Manchester gibt, die so wenig klingt wie Musik aus Manchester, wie man das erwarten würde. Und die Band fällt tatsächlich aus dem Rahmen. Und das haben sie auch bestätigt, dass sie nie wirklich von der Manchester-Musik wirklich beeinflusst worden sind. Sie sind nicht von dem Erbe der Stadt in dem Sinne geprägt worden. Die freuen sich drüber und die sind eigentlich stolz drauf. Aber dennoch, es hat mit ihrer Musik nichts zu tun. Und Fred meinte auch, es liegt daran, dass sie vielleicht nicht ursprünglich aus der Stadt kommen. Sie sind dazugezogen quasi. Also Fred kommt aus Belgien, James kommt aus Leeds. Und Rob meinte auch, dass sie auch nicht, so was diesen Hipness-Faktor betrifft, sie haben nicht die richtigen Klamotten gehabt, um überhaupt bei diesem ganzen so Trendspiel mitzuwirken. Und außerdem haben sie dann keine Fete gehabt, die sie vielleicht gezwungen haben, die Musik aus der Stadt zu hören. Und deshalb haben sie das Gefühl gehabt, ihr eigenes Ding zu machen. But it must be very kind of pleasing for you to actually know that you're actually doing something which, by the standards of where you come from, does actually sound quite original. Is that important to you, to actually be pushing the music forward in that sense?
It definitely is. I think, like I said, we're so proud of the city we live in. And I think it affects us, the people living in it, and aesthetically the city and the way it sounds and the way it looks and the colours in the city influence our music an awful lot, So not necessarily from the other bands, but just the place is really inspiring and it affects us definitely. And to do something different, I think we came at this band in such a strange way that we weren't influenced by anything really. It was such a selfish project, all we cared about was pleasing ourselves really, and initially that of course has changed since we have more responsibility, we have some fans now,
so you've got to please the fans now, haven't you?
There's a sense of that,
we weren't going to play this live at the very beginning. It was a studio project just to sort of be able to do our thing without any influences from other music, from other bands.
Yeah, I think we were a little older than most bands as well to start, so I think we were...
Had you been in other bands as well?
Not so much. I mean, some of the guys had, but
I've worked with other bands, then you sort of do a little bit what they ask you to do, in a sort of a studio environment, and that's where I met Rob. But then I was like, I would love to do something where I can just do my thing.
Yeah.
What comes, you know, best to me from my heart, really, rather than any influences.
Because actually being a bit old when you start will also mean you're not going to try to reflect youth culture anyway.
Yeah.
You're just going to, in a sense, you're going to have your own mindset, aren't you?
Yeah, I think that's important. That was important for us. I mean, some of the guys had been in other bands. Fred had produced hundreds of records, and I think when I was talking to Freddie, he just wanted to do something where he didn't compromise at all. He could just make a record that was just selfishly just something that he wanted to make, and that's exactly what I wanted to do. We weren't really too interested in doing well, you know, or we didn't have any ambitions career-wise.
We didn't make it to get on the radio, really, initially, you know, so it just, whatever. It was our own rules.
And now, of course, you've got these expectations to live up to, and you've got these fans you've got to please, so it means that you're never, ever going to be able to cross off Bloodlines off the playlist.
Yeah.
It's going to be like your song, like Elton John's Your Song.
That's it. Just didn't sell quite as many. But yeah. I think because I think the best thing that we did was when we started, we just wrote these songs that we wanted to write, and we weren't influenced by anything. We weren't with a record label. We didn't have any industry constraints to work around.
Yeah, just look it up. People seem to like it.
Yeah, so playing Bloodline every night isn't a chore, you know. It's something we love. So there's no song on the set list that's in there because we have to play it. So we're really happy to play them all. So I think it was we were very grateful that we...
Yeah, and there are no songs that we were asked to write a certain style from the record label, from Manage, nothing. Everything came from us.
Right, okay.
And still is.
Ja, Sie sagen, dass Sie zwar nicht unmittelbar von der Musik der Stadt Manchester beeinflusst worden sind, aber trotzdem von der Ästhetik, von dem Feeling, von dem so Lebensgefühl in der Stadt. Das finden Sie schon sehr inspirierend. Und deshalb, Sie wollen es nicht runterspielen. Also die Wichtigkeit dieser Herkunft ist Ihnen schon sehr, sehr wichtig. Nur Sie haben das Gefühl gehabt, dass als Sie angefangen haben, waren Sie ein bisschen älter als andere Bands. Sie waren nicht ganz jung, als Sie angefangen haben. Und deshalb war es auch für Sie förderlich, weil es bedeutete, Sie konnten origineller sein. Sie haben nicht so ein Teenager-Verhältnis zur Musik gehabt. Sie haben nicht so diese Jugendkultur-Vorstellung im Kopf. Und deshalb waren Sie nicht opportunistisch auf irgendeine Weise, sondern Sie haben wirklich nur ein egoistisches Projekt gegründet. Einfach so, Sie haben nur an sich gedacht. Sie haben wirklich nur Musik zu ihren eigenen Bedingungen gemacht und haben sich überhaupt keine Gedanken darüber gemacht, ob irgendjemand es mögen würde. Jetzt meinte, ist es ein bisschen anders. Jetzt haben Sie schon Fans und jetzt müssen Sie schon irgendwie darüber nachdenken, wie können Sie die Erwartungen der Fans erfüllen. Aber Sie angefangen haben, waren Sie richtig frei, was das betrifft. Und Sie stehen zu Ihrer ganzen Musik, auch zu den alten Songs. Und auch ein Song wie Bloodline zum Beispiel ist zwar jetzt inzwischen ein bisschen älter, aber die haben immer noch ihre Freude dran, den Song live zu spielen. So, und jetzt hören wir das besagte Stück Bloodline von ihrem Debütalbum White Water. Here's the Slow Show. Das war Bloodline von The Slow Show, von dem Album White Water. Just talk about Manchester again. There's a song on the album called Brawling Tonight, which I think is probably about the Manchester nightlife. I wouldn't be surprised. But in Chorlton, you're living in Chorlton, it's quite civilised there, isn't it?
Yeah,
so I don't know what we're talking about. I mean, is there any connection to Manchester, that song Brawling Tonight, or not?
Yeah, it is. It's a story about the city at night. And when I was writing this record, I was in moved briefly into a bedsit apartment sort of rooftop apartment in the city, and most of the evenings were spent just looking out this little window, and it was just that song's just a complete story of what I saw each evening, you know.
Right.
and it was about a lively little street with people, you know, fighting outside, and it's a sort of probably a romantic take on Manchester in the evenings.
Right, United and City fans,
yeah.
romantic Anyone. Fight between United and City fans.
Right, it's hard to find the romance in it sometimes.
I'm sure you managed to pull that off, though. You know, the way you do it, you know, you're the only person ever in the world can actually write a romantic song about football hooligans.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, also dieses Lied Brawling Tonight, also ist tatsächlich ein Song, der, wie ich vermutet habe, es handelt vom Nachtleben in Manchester. Die Stadt ist dafür bekannt, dass es nicht immer so friedlich verläuft alles. Es wird natürlich viel getrunken und es gibt manchmal Schlägereien. Und Rob hatte eine neue Wohnung in der Innenstadt. Es war oben auf einer Dachterrasse. Und da saß er abends und er guckte nach unten auf so eine ganz lebendigen Straße und was da vor sich ging, also zur späten Stunde. Wie gesagt, nicht immer so ein friedlicher Verlauf. Und es war so seine romantische Darstellung davon eigentlich, weil aus der Ferne konnte man es irgendwie fast als malerisch eigentlich ansehen. Also es passte irgendwie zum Image der Stadt dann auch auf irgendeine Weise. So diese düstere Romantik der Stadt Manchester. Und wir hören jetzt Brawling Tonight von The Slow Show, von dem Album Dream Darling. So, das war Brawling Tonight von The Slow Show, von dem 9-2 Album Dream Darling. Bei mir im Studio sind immer noch Rob und Fred von der Band. And it's, I think the arrangements, I mean, it's an obvious thing, really. I mean, I'm stating the obvious when I say that it's been done very meticulously and you've done it very carefully. But I think the kind of songs you're making, there'd be this massive danger that you could get out of hand. You could get carried away getting bombastic. And you always seem to avoid that. Mm. And was it necessary to work at avoiding that? Or is it just by nature that you automatically, you're such subtle people, subtly spiritual people, you wouldn't dream of actually cranking up the...
Oh, we dream about it.
Yeah. we actually try it sometimes, don't we? I mean, it's a really good point, because it's exactly what's happening in the studio. When we have a new song, more often than not, we add a lot to it to try little things out, because it's always exciting, isn't it? Add the choirs, the horns. But then, obviously, you have to take a step back and just see the song really needs it. Was it better before? And that's where a lot of time goes. In those sort of experiments, rather more than in the songwriting, I think.
Yeah,
the arrangement take longer.
And you always had such good musicians around you as well. Just
We're very lucky. I mean, the song comes in a complete skeleton form, you know, a skeletal form, and it's not dressed in any way. And by the time it's finished, and Fred works, me and Fred work together in the studio so much, and it's formed, and we chisel away at it and mould it so much, you know, and sometimes it ends up being just back with a skeleton. We it gets dressed up in millions of layers, and then everything's taken back, and sometimes it turns into something completely new. And we're very lucky that Fred's the producer and he's also in the band, so we have the tools and someone with Fred that we can take it as far as we want to possibly take it, but we can also have it really bare. And I think that's the hardest thing. Sometimes the two of us have discussions for days and days and months about whether something should sound huge or whether it should sound, there should be almost silence, you know.
You could spend a long time on something, and then to not use it is sometimes a bit painful, but it just have to do it. And it's easy to go over the top, like you say, it gets too sweet, too sugary.
Yeah, because there's a lot going on in there in terms of arrangements, but there never seems to be ever a note too much played, you know what I mean?
That's nice
yeah,
to
that's,
hear.
That's the nicest that's thing we can aim. Hear, because that's what we spend all our time discussing, you know, and we're very aware of that fact that people might think that it's not necessary sometimes, and we always discuss that, you know, this string section sounds beautiful, but is it actually necessary, you know? And that's an important...
Yeah, I mean, and even if there is a lot going on, it's about space, because you can have many layers, but they all have to be audible and have their own reason to be there. And another thing that's nice to hear is that when people can hear it over and over again and they still find little parts of the song they haven't heard, and I hope it helps for people to listen to the album a lot before they get bored of it.
And that's what we love. With me and Fred particularly spent a long time listening to records where if you listen to them with your headphones on 100 times, you find something new and you can still be fascinated by it, you know, and it takes you somewhere else. And I think that was our sort of goal.
Something we hope we can do too, yeah.
Yeah, the attitude, not saying the music, the attitude reminds me of a band like the Blue Nile years and years ago. Mm. I don't know whether you're probably old enough to know the Blue Nile.
I love that band, yeah. But actually, funny enough, I only know them recently because someone compared us in a review and I went and looked them up, and I thought they blew me away. I thought it was that first record that they did was just...
It's just so meticulous. It's just so lovingly done.
Yeah, yeah. It's storytelling at its best, you know. But I think their production's just beautiful, and it's so sort of understated but fascinating as well.
Well, you're getting there to doing the same sort of thing, I think, yeah.
That'd be nice.
Let's hope you don't just kind of disappear into obscurity like they did.
That's it, yeah.
Ja, also ich sagte, dass bei solchen bunten Arrangements besteht die Gefahr, dass der Sound zu bombastisch werden könnte und dass es dadurch irgendwie auch kitschig rüberkommen könnte. Und das vermeiden sie. Und das tun sie auch ganz bewusst. Also sie wissen, einerseits wollen sie so üppige Arrangements haben, aber sie wollen sehr subtil damit umgehen. Und sie denken stundenlang, monatelang darüber nach, also wie ein Song genau aufgebaut werden darf und wie viele Noten gespielt werden dürfen in einem bestimmten Song, ob genug Raum noch besteht. Und es ist eine ständige Gratwanderung, einerseits wirklich so schöne Musik zu schaffen und Schönheit anzustreben, aber dennoch das nicht zu versauen, indem man es übertreibt, weil dann würde es natürlich dann billig wirken. Und das ist ein oberster Gebot für die Band. Und ich meinte auch eben, sie erinnern mich ein bisschen an The Blue Nile, eine Band von früher aus Schottland. Und sie kennen die Band inzwischen auch, also nur weil jemand anders das in einer Rezension erwähnt hat. Und daraufhin haben sie die Band kennengelernt. Und sie verstehen auch, dass man denkt, dass es vielleicht eine vergleichbare Attitüde gibt. Also, I think important that you have the people around you. I mean, you got quite a few people around you who were involved as well. Are you always on the same page, kind of mentally? I mean, it's like you there was a choir involved in Berlin, I think. Mm. Yeah. So,
yes.
I mean, is it not difficult to actually get people to respond in exactly the way you want them to respond, or do they always automatically kind of just tune into what you're doing?
I think we've been very lucky with the people that we've asked and that have kindly agreed to play on the record and that we've worked with. And Fred was in Berlin, for a week with the choir. And the choir is a relationship that's grown over the years, because we were lucky enough to play with them at the Holden Pop Festival for the first time. And Ralph, the conductor, is just, I think he can really share the vision that we have with a song, and they can understand it, and they ask what the song's about, and that's really important mm-hmm. for them. So I think this record's the first time we've done that in particular, and explained what songs are about to other musicians, so they could perform them appropriately, and that yeah. they could sort of play them with the right emotions. And I think we've been very lucky.
Yeah, they were definitely on the same page as us. They knew straight away what the how they should sound, and we had the same opinion about it. And it was very useful for the choir. I remember them telling me that they knew what the songs were about. They yeah. could get really find themselves into it.
Well, that's important, isn't it? Because you yeah. won't want like a choir just to storm in and wreck everything.
Yeah, well, it's hard.
It was hard work, because it was like yeah. three days constant tracking, recording. Probably a lot harder work than they expected. But, you know, I did say knowing what they were involved in and what they sang about did make it easier. Yeah, it was good. It was a great time. And
yeah, sie haben auch ein Chor auch engagiert auch für das Album. Und Breaks Today is one of the main songs, isn't it? They're on
yep.
the choir.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah. Yeah, und sie waren sehr zufrieden mit Zusammenarbeit. Und ich sagte, das könnte eine Gefahr bedeuten, dass wenn man so einen Chor engagiert, dass es wirklich etwas übertrieben wirken könnte. Aber sie haben sich sehr gut verstanden, und der Dirigent und das Chor wussten eigentlich genau, was die Band gewollt hat. Und es gab überhaupt keine Spannung eigentlich, es gab überhaupt keine Auseinandersetzung mit diesem Chor. Die haben irgendwie gleich die Erwartungen erfüllt, die die Band gehabt hat. Und jetzt hören wir dieses Stück mit Gospelchor. Hier ist Breaks Today von dem Album Dream Darling von The Slow Show. Das war Breaks Today von The Slow Show von dem Album Dream Darling. And of course, I think it's important for a band from Manchester to be able to make it clear to the rest of the world that it's possible to start a new chapter and to do something completely different, which nobody's expecting. And do you actually feel in a sense of a mission in that respect, or is that just kind of going over the top now? Don't you really care about that connection in that respect? And do you feel in some ways as if you're representing the town and starting a new period in music, or is that...
I don't think we see it like that.
No, I think like we said, we do feel very... It's very often written that we're the most un-Mancunian band, you know, or we're not very Mancunian sounding, and I don't think we are, but we are extremely proud of the city. So there is a sense of that, and we're also always keen to tell people we're a band from Manchester, you know. Yeah. So I don't think we do it. We have that in mind, that we want to move the music forward, and I think we don't probably because we don't feel like we're part of any kind of scene in Manchester, you know. So but there is, we are extremely proud of the city, and if we are in any way promoting it musically. That's lovely, but I don't think we've ever thought about it like that.
Right, you don't actually feel like you're not on a diplomatic mission.
No,
no.
You're going to start a new wave.
Yeah, maybe.
This sort of different type of music in Manchester.
Okay. Ja, also Sie sind stolz auf die Stadt Manchester, aber wie wir schon am Anfang gesagt haben, Sie haben nicht das Gefühl, dass Sie so eine Mission haben, irgendwie neue Musik aus Manchester zu vertreten oder ein neues Kapitel aufzuschlagen, um irgendwie neue Musik für die Stadt zu erfinden. Also, sie fühlen sich nicht verantwortlich in dem Sinne. And just one last point. I mean, one obvious trait of the music is the fragility of it. I mean, as time goes on, as years go by, you get more confident, you get more self-assured. Do you think there's any possible danger of losing that? That's what's made the band so important in the first place? Because you're going to get a bit more extrovert. You're going to get a bit more sure of yourself. You know what I mean? You've already found your feet.
Yeah, I think there's a sense of that live because the shows get bigger and it's just not possible or not appropriate anymore. I don't think to stand with an acoustic guitar and play six songs on that are really intimate. You know, I think something like Fred said, we played the first show with the tour was in Utrecht and there was only Utrecht in Holland. There was over 2,000 people there and the show has to change. I think the show has to also, you have to adapt to that, you know, so it does sometimes get, there's a sense of grandeur and you have to perform, you know, there has to be a performance now. But in terms of the songs being intimate, I think it works the other way. I think we're confident enough now to be very personal, you know, with this record. It was, I think we were sort of past caring about exposing yourself too much in a song, you know. So lyrically, I think this record's more intimate than the first one, and I think I was more comfortable just saying what I wanted to, you know. So
ja, also er meinte, dass es stimmt schon, dass das Publikum größer geworden ist und die Band ist selbstbewusster geworden und ja, sie fühlen sich natürlich dementsprechend so souverän im Vergleich zu früher. Und das merken Sie, dass wenn es um die Live-Shows geht, dann ist es notwendig, natürlich mehr anzubieten. Und tatsächlich, die sind eher so richtig so Darsteller geworden jetzt auf der Bühne. Und das ist eigentlich unvermeidlich. Das gehört einfach dazu. Das heißt aber nicht, dass Sie Ihre Sensibilität verlieren. Er meinte im Gegenteil, das neue Album ist eigentlich noch intimer und sensibler als das erste Album. Er hat das Gefühl gehabt, dass er wirklich sein Innerstes nach außen gekehrt hat. Und dass er sich keine Sorgen gemacht hat, sich zu offenbaren seelisch eigentlich, dass die Leute wirklich sein Innerstes auch mitbekommen. Und er denkt, dass dieses Bedürfnis wird er immer haben. Und er wird immer das Gefühl haben, dass diese Intimität sehr wichtig ist. Right, well, thanks very much for coming down to talk to me. I appreciate that. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks for having us.
What was you here to finish off then?
Maybe Hurt?
Yeah.
Hurts. Okay.
We like that one.
There's another Manchester musician on that, this girl singer.
Keisha.
Yeah. Keisha, right.
Actually, okay. We need to make sure you get a radio version.
Okay. Also wir hören jetzt, also Hurt zum Schluss, mit einer Gastsängerin Keisha, eine andere Manchester Musikerin zum Schluss. Okay, thanks a lot. Cheers.
Thank you.
So das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.